This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just as He has gathered us here today on this day of Jum'ah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us along with our families in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la, in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba, Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. In the 10th year of Hijrah, the only Hajj the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he ever performed, and on the day of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a message, a revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. That today on this day we have completed this deen of Islam. And this Islam is a complete way of life. And not only that, but this is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us when we adopt Islam as our deen. But not only as our deen, but as our way of life. When it comes to Islam, Islam means submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam does not mean that I will do whatever I want to do, and in the other areas of Islam, I will make my own interpretation, and I will do whatever I want. This is not what Islam is. Islam is complete and total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were people who belonged to the Jewish community. People like Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, who formerly belonged to the Jewish community. And there were other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who belonged formerly to the Jewish community. And when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, they converted to Islam. But when they converted to Islam, they had some difficulty leaving behind some previous practices. Meaning that within their religion, they used to have some kind of practices, such as we all know, that the Jewish community, they revere the day of Sabbath that starts at Friday Maghrib time or Friday sunset time, and it goes all the way to Saturday sunset time. They revered this day. So some of these Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were formerly Jewish, they were trying to hold on to some of their previous practices. And they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, can we observe some of these kind of practices? And the ulama, they say that based on this event, the verse came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That first of all, we know that Islam is our choosing. Islam is our way of life. But Islam also means complete submission. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, udkhulu fi silmi kafah. Enter into the deen completely. Not that one foot in Islam and one foot outside of Islam. No, when we follow our deen, we follow our deen completely. And not only that, but Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu, he says that when he talked about this verse and he was teaching about this verse, he actually explained that there are 8 areas of Islam. 8 areas of Islam that we need to go in with complete submission. And he says that it is salat, it is zakat, it is sawm, it is hajj, it is umrah, it is striving in the cause of Allah, and it is standing up for what is right and forbidding that which is evil. These are 8 things that he said that as a Muslim we need to go in with complete submission. Now you may be asking that why did I start off my khutbah with this ayah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Why did I do this? Brothers and sisters, let me say this. For the past few weeks, you observe the community. I know there are a lot of people in the community who talk amongst themselves. When you get to when there's a dawat, or when there is an engagement, or when there are people who are getting together at a party, sometimes there are those round table talks, and people are talking about what is going on in the community. And I'm no different, that I, as a leader, as a religious leader, I have to observe my community, and I have to study and see what is going on in my community. And there are so many issues in the community that today people have a fear, wallahi, a genuine fear to address. They have a fear that if I address and I speak the haq and I speak the truth and I speak the Quran and I speak the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will be cancelled in the community. There are people who have this genuine fear that if I speak the haq and I speak the truth, I will lose my business. I will lose social media following. And let me be very blunt about this also. That unfortunately, many of our imams and shuyukh and du'at and religious leaders, unfortunately, are part of this too. We are living in a time when we talk about Gaza, we talk about that how they're trying to silence people. Even within our own community, there's a certain type of silencing that is taking place. If you speak the haq, if you speak the truth, you talk about the injustices that are taking place in the community, then the community will come together. Some men will come together, some women will come together, and they will cancel you, and they will launch a campaign against you and so forth. Brothers and sisters, the reality is that if you observe our time and the Muslims that came to this country, there's a saying that hard times create strong men. Our parents who came here to this country were living through difficult and hard times. But what is the result of that hard time? It creates strong men. And strong men create good times. And in my own personal understanding, we have just passed that. We have seen how there are so many masajid, how many Quranic programs, how many seminaries around the nation, how many this and that. There's so many religious endeavors that are taking place. But now we are entering into a phase right now, as this author says, that good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. We are starting to enter into that phase as a Muslim community. And I fear that if we do not have the ability to speak up the truth, and we are always going to hide behind the truth. Why? Because of the fear of certain people in the community, and certain agendas in the community, then guess what? Our next generation of Muslims, wallahi, uqsim billah, they are in danger. Because how can you do anything if you are being suppressed? How can you speak the haq if you're going to be constantly suppressed? So that is why today in this khutbah, I will share some hard truths. But this is the reality, that when we talk about being a Muslim, when I talk about being religious, it means that we have to enter into total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse, udkhulu fis silmi kaffa, what does it mean? It means few things. Number one, it means that no matter if an order of Allah makes sense to us or not, if it is logical or not, if it has come from Allah, there's khayr and hikmah in it. Khalas. The buck stops there. There is no questions. Today we are living in a time where people are trying to make everything about Islam about logical reasoning. There are certain areas of our deen where there is no logical reasoning that applies. And there are some places in our deen where logical reasoning can apply. But the foundations of our deen, there is no logical reasoning over there. There are certain things about aqidah that we're not going to question. There are certain things about our deen we can never question. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّا كَتَبَنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَنِقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ أَوِخْرُجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ مَا فَعَلُوهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُعَظُونَ بِهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. Allah is telling us, لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. If Allah were to tell us to take our own lives, would Allah tell us to take our own lives? No. But Allah is telling us, even if I were to tell you to do something that makes no sense to you, because it's coming from me, there's going to be khayr in it. If I were to ask you to leave your homes, this is Allah telling us, if He were to tell us to leave our homes, Allah is telling us, most people using logic, they would say, we will not do something like this. But Allah is telling us, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُعَظُونَ بِهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no ands and ifs and buts. Whatever has come from Allah, whether we understand the hikmah behind it or not, why do I have to make wudu 5 times a day? Why do I have to wash my face? If it's about purification, why washing the face? Why not using soap? Why washing the arms to the elbows? Why this? Why that? Because Allah said, khalas, that's it. Why is riba haram? Because Allah said it. Why does a woman have to wear hijab? Because Allah said it. I'm not going to get into all these other details. Allah said it and khalas, that's it. And anyone who questions and objects to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very clearly in the Quran that this is tantamount and this is equivalent to being ungrateful to Allah and raising objections and kufr towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells us in the Quran, أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبَلُ. Allah is telling Sahaba radiallahu anhum that do you intend to question your messenger and object to your messenger just like Bani Israel did to Musa alayhi salam? وَمَن يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. Allah is saying that anyone who is objecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is like they have gone far away from the path. So the very first thing that we need to understand, brothers and sisters, when Allah says enter into the deen completely, it means that I have full belief in whatever Allah has revealed to us. Whether I understand the hikmah behind it or not, I will follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told to me and I will not object to Allah. One is to ask a question, but one is questioning the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I may ask a question, but I cannot question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second way to understand about complete submission to Islam is, brothers and sisters, is understanding our responsibility as a Muslim. And we must accept our shortcomings. Let me explain. See, we all have a role to play. Men have a role to play in society. Women have a role to play in society. And if I'm not fulfilling my role in responsibility, as Allah has told us in the Quran, then I need to make adjustments in my life. I need to make changes in my life. I cannot question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that why is He telling us to do this? But if Allah is telling us, I got to make those changes. What has become today is that we are so obsessed about others. You know, brothers and sisters, let me be very blunt about this. You know, subhanallah, it is so hard to speak the truth nowadays, especially when it comes to society issues, community issues. We have problems regarding men. There are many flaws in today within our Muslim men. And there are flaws, serious flaws, within our Muslim women also. No one is innocent in this day and age. But yet, subhanallah, when you speak up the haq and you speak up the truth and you say that men need to make certain changes in their life, right away the men are going to start objecting. That why do you only talk about us? Why do you not talk about the women? And when we address the women too, then the first thing they will say is, why are you only addressing us? Why don't you address the men? So my question is, what do you want to do? How can we move forward in the future if every time anyone gives a khatira, anyone gives a khutbah, anyone is calling out our problems, and everyone is saying, I'm not the problem, they are the problem. We need to make changes within our own life. None of us here, including myself, none of us are perfect. We need to make changes in our life. And we need to stop this. If I hear a khutbah or a lecture about toxic masculinity, then do not become defensive. Understand what is being said. Try to understand and ask yourself, Do I have any traits of toxicity in my life? Do I have a toxic personality or not? And the same thing goes for the women also. When toxic feminism is being discussed, do not become defensive. So often women become so defensive that you are only addressing us. You're only talking about us. So if this is what it is, then how can we teach deen? And how can we teach the Quran? And how can we teach the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ if it's always about others? Can you imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a verse regarding riba? He said riba is haram. And imagine there's a person in the community of the Prophet ﷺ and he says, why is he only talking about me? Why is he only talking about my riba problems? Why is he not talking about the other issues in the community? No. Allah, He sends down verses, not so that we use those verses of the Quran against each other. But you and I, we all are weak. We all have weaknesses. We all have deficiencies. So quit, stop, and please stop using deen And stop using deen in a way that it's only about others. Deen is for ourselves. Our deen has been sent so that we can become the best version of ourselves. But if it's always about others, there's no way we can improve in our life. So the second way of understanding, أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً, is to understand our deficiencies and to focus on our weaknesses and not always focus on others. The next thing, brothers and sisters, another understanding, another way to understand, أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً, is that we should not exhibit arrogance. You know, if you study one of the very first stories when it comes to history in a chronological format, one of the very first stories we come across in the Quran from a time perspective is a story of Adam alayhi salam and his encounter with Iblis, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talking to the malaika about creating the human race. No matter how much knowledge Shaitan had, no matter how religious he thought he was, the minute he showed arrogance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was dismissed from the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, you know what arrogance is? Two things make up arrogance. Or there are two traits of arrogance, I would say. Number one is غَمْتُ النَّاسِ, putting people down, thinking that you are superior than them. Just like what Iblis did. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ, I'm better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. Arrogance. Another sign and characteristic of arrogance is not accepting our shortcomings. You know how often today in our community, when it comes to the men, let me say this very openly, when you look at the biggest crimes that are being committed by men today, and I'm not saying that all men do these kind of things, but the prevailing crimes, the wrongdoings that are being done in our society from the men are, number one, abuse in families, abusing their children, abusing their wife, cheating in their marriage, committing zina, drinking, gambling, haram sources of income. These are the things that you see and I hear so often that the men are engaged in our community. But yet today, when you go to that same man and you tell him that, brother, what you're doing is wrong, Allah says this in the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ says this in the hadith, then the very first thing they tell you is, you have no right to tell me and tell me what's right and what's wrong. You have no right to engage in my matters. You mind your own business. I mean, just imagine if the Prophet ﷺ came today and he saw the men, what they're doing today, and he came across a man who is doing these kind of sins or any one of these sins, and he told them that what you're doing is haram and you need to stop this right away, perhaps they would even ignore the Prophet ﷺ. And not only that, let me make this also very clear, that within the women of our community, those who exhibit and those who believe in the left leaning ideology, a liberal mindset of feminism, and I've called this out before, but the women who belong to this ideology, who promote this ideology from our Muslim community, in our Muslim sisters, those who want to play God and going in the community and slander whoever they want, launch campaigns of canceling whoever they want based on whatever they know, they're trying to play God in a community, they put their careers over their families, they are breaking up families, they're giving up their deen. Why? Because in the name of freedom and so forth. These women, and this is not including, let me make this very clear, because when you say feminist or feminism, any woman who says, well, I am standing up for women's rights, if I see a woman being unjust or being, she is a victim of injustice, standing up for her is feminism? No, that is Islam. Standing up against injustice is Islam. But I'm talking about the current day feminist ideology. The ideology that is spreading this mindset. And if you study feminism and the history of feminism, one of the first people who started and launched feminism said that they equated staying at home mothers They were talking about mothers who are staying at home, taking care of their children. They made them equal to those prisoners who were in the concentration camp. Go and read it in the books. And it's fair to say that if the Prophet ﷺ came today and saw these kind of women, and these are not all of our women, these are a handful of women in our community, in our society, who are spreading fitna, who are spreading chaos in our community. If the Prophet ﷺ came today and saw them and tell them what they were doing is wrong, they would cancel Rasulullah ﷺ. Brothers and sisters, our deen is about making changes in our life. We cannot be arrogant. If I'm doing something that is wrong, I need to own up to what I'm doing something that is wrong. Number four, how do we understand this verse? We cannot make changes in our deen. It is not allowed, we are not allowed, no matter what time and what era we are living in, we are not allowed to make something that is halal into haram and haram into halal. That is not our authority. Allah calls this out very clearly in the Quran. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُهُمُ الْكَذِبَ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ. People who engage in this, they are making a slander, they're creating lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But today, subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, again we see such a crisis. You know how many people have sent me videos of men and women changing up the deen? Men and women who have gone into secular universities, who have never studied Islamic Sharia, who have never studied Islamic Sharia in the traditional format, in the traditional setting, but they want to study Islam from non-Muslims in the universities. And now they're going into the Quran and they're changing the meaning of the Quran and they're saying that this is my opinion. Their one opinion is a fringe opinion. Their one opinion goes against the 1400 years of scholarship that we have in our deen. Yet today you find these kind of men, and especially there are more and more women, unfortunately, doing this in the name of academia, in the name of knowledge, in the name of my opinion, changing up the Quran. And not only that, if you thought this was bad, now there are people who are determining what is a sahih hadith, what is a da'if hadith, what is a maudu hadith, based on what they like. So if the Prophet ﷺ calls out the men, khalas, this is a da'if hadith. If the Prophet ﷺ is calling out the women, khalas, this is a da'if hadith or this is a maudu hadith. These are the times that unfortunately we are living in. And despite all this, many of us are just quiet. Unfortunately, even many of our imams and shuyukh are so quiet. Why? Because they are afraid of the backlash. They fear people more than they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can no longer live in that time. We need to know how to speak up the truth. Afdalul jihadi kalimatu haqqin inda sultanin ja'ir. To speak up the truth in front of a tyrant. There are people who in our community, men and women, who have given themselves this tyrant kind of position. And we cannot be afraid. Otherwise, wallahi, there is no deen in the future for our kids. And finally, the most important thing is that today, inshallah, I want to finish the khutbah by saying that there is a dua that I strongly recommend that we all should memorize this dua, and we should try to teach our kids this dua and have them recite this, because we're living in a time where it is getting difficult to understand what is the haq. There is the haq, but sometimes people are using the haq to spread batil. And there are people that they know that the batil does exist, the falsehood does exist, but they're presenting the falsehood as a haq. So how can our kids know? How do we know what is the haq? There is a hadith, or there's a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there are many ulama that say that in this day and age, in this day and age of fitna and this emerging fitnas that are taking place, we need to memorize and recite this dua. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna ittiba'a. Ya Allah, whatever the haq is, show me that as the haq and give me the ability to follow the haq. Wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba. And show us the falsehood as falsehood. though people may present it as the truth, but ya Allah, you show it to us as falsehood and give us the ability to stay far away from it. This is the dua that you and I, we should be reciting every single day. So once again, just to quickly recap, when we said, I should recite the verse, udkhulu fis silmi kafa, enter into the deen with complete submission. It means, number one, that no matter what Allah has sent down to us, logical, unlogical to us, it is coming from the Al-Hakim, and it has wisdom, and we must follow it whether we understand it or not. Number two is, it's our responsibility to understand our shortcomings and improve in our understandings, our shortcomings, and focus on ourselves. When any advice is given, it's not about others, but it's about ourselves. Number three is, we cannot be arrogant towards Allah and His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When we hear a verse of the Quran, when we hear a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we need to submit to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And number four is, we cannot change our deen based on what we just like. If something I feel that is insensitive towards me, khalas, it is da'if, it is maldu' and so forth, or to please other people. Subhanallah, there are so many men, there are so many women who have come to me and told me that people are spreading online, on social media, this hadith is da'if. Why? Because it goes against the men. Or this is da'if because it goes against the women. And out of fear, there are people who are saying that this is the truth, this is not the truth. There are ulama who have created a system to understand what is a da'if hadith, what is a maudu hadith, and we leave it to them to understand what is considered a da'if hadith and maudu hadith. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, protect our upcoming generations, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always give us the strength and the ability to speak the haq no matter what the situation and no matter what the time and the era that we are living in. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Barakallahu lana ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد وفرقان حميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصرنا على من خالفنا واحفظ بلادنا وأصلح أولادنا واشف مرضانا وعاف مبتلانا وارحم موتانا وخذ بأيدينا إلى كل خير وعصمنا من كل شر واحفظنا من كل ضير اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن يقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما حيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه آمين يا رب العالمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون أقم الصلاة. Straight in lines, fill in the gaps. Straight in lines, fill in the gaps. Brothers in the back two rooms, please come inside. Sisters, please make sure the rows are straight. There's still ample amount of space inside the main hall. Brothers in the back two rooms, please make sure the rows are complete. Brothers in the lobby area, please make sure you look around yourselves. Make sure the row is straight. The rows are complete. And if there's anyone inside the multipurpose hall amongst the brothers, then please make sure there's only one row.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salah. Hayya 'alal falah. Qad qamatis salah. Qad qamatis salah. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله